I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
So will the Supreme Court of the United States decide that presidents have immunity for their official acts as presidents? Let's hope so, because to do anything else would be disastrous for the Constitution and for the Republic. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here. And Wally, the emotional support alligator, there's an update to Wally's story. I'll share that with you as well. Plus, Afro Man's got a great remix of Hunter Biden, which is making all the waves today. But our big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. The White House is pressed as the student protests erupt across the country. What will they do? How will they deal with this? How will the White House deal with this situation? Remember, for Joe Biden, problem right now is he's worried that these people won't come out and vote for him. And Joe Biden also needs to be worried that the American people see this for what it is, which is crazy, and their kids are going to these schools, and the parents who don't have kids who are participating in this, in other words, the majority, and they're not being able to do commencement, they're not being able to go to class, they're paying all this money to send their kids to these schools, that those parents are going to blame Joe Biden and the Democrats for this in a big way. You're spending $80,000 a year, Columbia, who knows, maybe more, $100,000 a year to send your kid there, and now they're not even going to have classes, commencement's going to be virtual. Parents are not going to be okay with this. They are not going to like this, and they don't. After surviving an attempted coup, White House press secretary slash fembot Karine Jean-Pierre came out and said the following with regards to what's happening on these campuses. But understand, though, that they're not taking a hard line here. And you could see the nuance in this. Cut number one.
Thanks, Green. More broadly, is the White House concerned about safety issues at university graduations this year?
I'll say this, and I kind of said this at the top. Commencement day for college kids is such an important day. You all know that. I'm sure you all have experienced how important it is that day, not just for you or for them in this case, but for parents and loved ones who are here to celebrate their loved one graduating from college. And that is really important. It is important that Americans are given the opportunity to peacefully protest. We have to make sure that is something that is afforded to Americans, and respecting what commencements are truly about. Those things are really important. We hope that schools can hold commencement celebrations while respecting difficult viewpoints that we're seeing right now in these issues. And we understand that it is a painful moment.
Is the White House in touch with, or the Department of Education in touch with universities to check on their planning or security measures?
So I would refer to Department of Education on that. I don't have anything to share at this time.
I have nothing to share. We'll refer you to the Department of Education. Think about this now. USC already announced they're canceling its primary commencement speech, commencement ceremony. So we're going to refer you to the Department of Education. The White House is going to defer you to the DOE. You see the problem here? They are so worried about having crazy stay home. They're so worried about it that they're just trying to refer the reporters to the Department of Education, where some bureaucrat will give them a written statement that they can publish somewhere. Now, notice the White House is saying that they condemn anti-Semitism. Remember, Biden said last week, yeah, I condemn anti-Semitism, but I also condemn people that don't understand what the Palestinians are going through. This is that very, very fine line here. They want all these crazy people to vote for them. You know, they're not coming out and saying, we denounce this, we denounce what they're saying, and we don't even want their vote. No, they need their vote. They need their vote. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre, cut two.
Go ahead, Monica.
Karine, there are two pieces of legislation that have been introduced that would take steps to counter anti-Semitism on college campuses and more broadly. Has the White House made a determination about which one it would support or would both?
Yeah, I'm aware of those two pieces of legislation. Obviously, the president condemns anti-Semitism. I don't want to get ahead of our Office of Legislative Affairs here, so need to discuss about those two pieces of legislation. Obviously,
she never has an answer on anything.
We condemn anti-Semitism. We're going to continue to do that. It has no place. It is hate speech, and so we're going to continue to do that. I want to be really mindful about getting ahead of that.
Would the White House support having anti-Semitism monitors on college campuses?
I need to be super mindful. As you know, we have we put out a strategic plan here on dealing with anti-Semitism because we understand that it has risen here in this country, and we have to do everything we can to fight hate. And so we put together a comprehensive plan. I just want to be mindful. I have not spoken to anybody about these two particular legislation. Don't want to get ahead of the team here, but the president has been very clear, very, very clear. I've said it multiple times throughout this briefing that we condemn anti-Semitism and any form of hate.
Okay, but they're not condemning what's happening on college campuses. You notice that, right? This is the difference. You got to read through what she's not saying. And Karine Jean-Pierre is not smart enough to nuance this. Her programming is set to make sure that she's not condemning the campus protesters. And how could you? You've got AOC out there commending the leadership of these groups that are organizing this in places like Columbia. You've got Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and which one's daughter was there? Was it Tlaib or
Ilhan? Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar's daughter was part of this, part of the protests, got arrested as a matter of fact. Then was on TV going on about how weapons of war were used against her as they were trying to restrain her. So the White House is very, very reluctant to actually come out against this stuff because they're afraid that that is going to mean that these people don't vote for them. And normally in a general election, like I said, you would have pivoted to the middle in a way that you would not have a problem standing up there and saying, this is wrong. What these campus protests are about is wrong. This needs to end. The United States of America stands with Israel. What these students are out there suggesting is akin to genocide. It has no place in our college campuses. In other words, you basically say what Fetterman said. But if you need crazy, because you haven't locked down crazy, you can't say those things. Because those are the votes you need. So you can't say those things. Joe Biden, it's also like why he's doing nothing on the border. I mean, in a general election right now, you would imagine that Joe Biden would come out and he would at least pretend he's tough on the border to try to win a general election. I mean, he's down in every single swing state there is. You'd think he would come out and try at least to maybe possibly pretend he's tough on the border, and he's not doing that either. And why do you think that is? Again, because he can't lock down crazy. So this becomes the repeating problem that they have in the Democrat Party right now, and it's why he's going to lose. I mean, among other reasons, but it's why he's going to lose. And then you have people like Bernie Sanders out there saying things like this, what he says about Benjamin Netanyahu. And then you've got Harvard students cheering as they replace an American flag with a Palestinian flag. Everybody's watching this stuff, and parents who send their kids to these schools, they are not happy with this. But where does this come from? Well, Bernie Sanders goes on State of the Union with Dana Bash on Sunday, and he reacts to Representative Ilhan Omar's visit to Columbia University, where she claims some students are pro-genocide for not supporting Palestine. And this is what he accused the Israeli prime minister, duly elected, fairly elected prime minister, a person who's supposed to be one of our strongest allies in the world. There's no evidence, by the way, of any ethnic cleansing going on or genocide on behalf of Israel. no evidence that that's happening. In fact, our own United States Department of State and the Pentagon have both come out and said Israel is not engaging in genocide. Israel is not engaging in ethnic cleansing. But Bernie represents crazy in the Democrat Party. He's their flag bearer, cut number 11.
She said some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Is that something that you're comfortable with that?
Well, I don't know exactly. Look, what I think the essential point that Ilhan made is that we do not want to see anti-Semitism in this country. And I think the word genocide is something that is being determined by the International Court of Justice. Mm-hmm. But this is what I will say. I don't think there's any doubt that what Netanyahu is doing now, displacing 80% of the population in Gaza, is ethnic cleansing. That's what it is, pushing out huge numbers of people. And now we're looking at the possibility of an attack on Rafah, where people have gone for so-called as a safety zone. So what's going on there, again, to my mind, is outrageous. And as you've indicated, I strongly oppose U.S. Funding for Netanyahu's war machine.
All right. Now, the Biden administration has come out and said it's not ethnic cleansing. That is not happening. It's not genocide. And now I've got the Anti-Defamation League coming out and accusing Ilhan Omar of blood libel for labeling Jewish students as pro-genocide or anti-genocide. So the Anti-Defamation League came out and claimed that when Ilhan Omar said that all Jewish students could be divided into two camps, pro-genocide or anti-genocide, she said that during a recent visit with anti-Israel demonstrators. She said, so I met a lot of Jewish students that are here in the encampments, and I think it's really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide. Pro-genocide. Think about that. I mean, think about that for a moment, that she's saying that. These are students who are pro-genocide. And she said this, and I'll tell you what, Matt, I'll send you the clip of this, and we can play it here. And then the ADL condemned her for it, as they should. Think of the language that's being used by people like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Bernie Sanders, AOC. Contrast that with the language being used by John Fetterman. And you understand in a nutshell the problem that I have outlined for you. And now take it into the swing states of Michigan and Wisconsin, where you've got crazy people there who are in these colleges in a state that Joe Biden has to win. And if he loses those states, he's going to lose the White House. And guess what? He's going to lose those states. And just like parents in Pennsylvania who send their kids to these universities, and those parents see what's happening and they're angry because of all the money they're spending and they don't like it. And then they hear this kind of nonsense. Here's Ilhan Omar. Take a listen.
I think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus.
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Daniel. Pro-genocide. And just keep that in mind, pro-genocide. So the Anti-Defamation League came out and said it's patently false and blood libel to suggest that any Jewish students are pro-genocide. It is gaslighting to impute that Jewish people are somehow at fault for being harassed and menaced with signs and slogans literally calling for their own extermination. This is the head of the Anti-Defamation League, who typically is a guy that always stands with Democrats. And look, Jewish voters typically vote Democrat. Maybe this election will be a wake-up call for them. But he wrote the following, and he said, again, this guy has been a stalwart Democrat over the years, this guy, Jonathan Greenblatt. It is abhorrent that a sitting member of Congress would slander an entire group of young people in such a cold, calculated manner. This is how people get killed. Ilhan Omar must apologize, but I'm not holding my breath. No, he should not hold his breath because she's not going to apologize because this is what they really think. This is what they think. Now, meantime, Biden and Netanyahu are discussing a possible ceasefire and a hostage deal. That's been reported. I don't think anybody wants this to go on any longer than it has to. But for the Democrats, they need this to go away before their convention. They need this to go away as soon as possible. But look at as these protests break out around universities around America right now, as this continues to go on, just ask yourself, do you think if you're a parent spending $80,000 to $100,000 a year sending your kid to one of these colleges that you're going to appreciate the fact that this administration is not coming out and doing more to make this go away so that your kids can get back to going to class, so that your kids can have commencement in person? No, they're going to blame Biden for this. They will. They'll absolutely blame Biden for this. No question about it. Meanwhile, as all this is happening, we're still hearing about disinformation. Disinformation. And Biden complained about it while he was spreading disinformation at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So President Biden used the bully pulpit at the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner to warn journalists about the risks and dangers posed by disinformation. And he spread a little disinformation himself as he turned to attack former President Donald Trump, delivering a series of partial truths and out-of-context quotes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Take a listen to some of this, cut two.
On the third anniversary of January 6th, I went to Valley Forge, and I said the most urgent question of our time is whether democracy is still the sacred cause of America. That is the question the American people must answer this year. And you, the Pre-Press, play a critical role in making sure the American people have the information they need to make an informed decision. A defeated former president has made no secret of his attack on our democracy. He said he wants to be a dictator on day one, and so much more. He tells supporters he is their revenge and retribution. When in God's name have you heard of another president say something like that? And he promised a bloodbath when he loses again. We have to take this seriously. 8 years ago, you could have written off as just Trump talk, but no longer, not after January 6th. I'm sincerely not asking of you to take sides, but asking you to rise up to the seriousness of the moment.
Now,
move past.
Let's just stop it for a second there. Playing the hits, right? Playing the hits. January 6th, Trump's a dictator, Trump's a bloodbath, he's going to spill blood. Blood in the streets. This is called playing the hits when you have nothing else to run on. Nothing. Then you have to do what you always do, which is scare everybody, try to make everybody terrified and everybody afraid. Now, this is the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So he's in a room with the vast majority, the overwhelming majority, with a few exceptions, are all on his side. And he goes, I don't want you to take sides. What are you talking about? The corporate media is entirely on Joe Biden's side. What is he saying? I don't want you to take sides. They're all in on his side. I'll give you an example. Here's the unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos, from Sunday, over the weekend. He goes on an opening. This is ABC This Week. So ABC News is owned by Disney, which is owned by China. So it's ABC Disney China is the parent company name. And Stephanopoulos opens this week with a what's at stake editorial. So you just heard Biden say that. What's at stake? These are the stakes. I'm not asking you to pick sides. I'm not asking you to do this. But this is what's at stake here in this election. So, right on cue, the next morning, George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist. No relation, of course, to the George Stephanopoulos that ran Bill Clinton's campaign with James Carville and was a Democrat operative his entire life. No. This is an unbiased journalist. Not a show for the Democrat Party in any way, shape, or form. But he just happens to dutifully reiterate everything the president said the night before. Take a listen.
Good morning and welcome to This Week. Until now, no American president had ever faced a criminal trial. No American president had ever faced a federal indictment for retaining and concealing classified documents. No American president had ever faced a federal indictment or a state indictment for trying to overturn an election or been named an unindicted co-conspirator in two other states for the same crime. No American president ever faced hundreds of millions of dollars in judgments for business fraud, defamation, and sexual abuse. Until now, no American presidential race had been more defined by what's happening in courtrooms than what's happening on the campaign trail. Until now. The scale of the abnormality is so staggering that it can actually become numbing. It's all too easy to fall into reflexive habits, to treat this as a normal campaign, where both sides embrace the rule of law, where both sides are dedicated to a debate based on facts and the peaceful transfer of power. But that is not what's happening this election year. Those bedrock tenets of our democracy are being tested in a way we haven't seen since the Civil War. It's a test for the candidates, for those of us in the media, and for all of us as citizens.
See? Right on cue. Right on cue. He goes out there and carries the water for Joe Biden. The unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos. Literally what Biden was saying. Stakes are so high. Democracy's on the ballot. Trump will be a dictator. So, I mean, I don't want you to take sides, corporate media. But if you're going to take sides, I wonder whose side you'd be on. I can't imagine. Whose side would you be on? Let me guess. Let me try to figure this out. But it's not affecting Donald Trump's poll numbers. In fact, he's doing really, really, really well in the polls. CNN has him up by 6 in a shock poll. They can't even believe it. They can't believe it, how this could be happening. Well, maybe one of the reasons why it's happening is that the message of Trump's going to be a dictator and democracy's on the ballot is no different than what Hillary Clinton ran on in 2016. Trump's going to make bombs go boom and say mean things on Twitter. Trump's going to get in there and cause World War III and blow up the world. And Trump's going to say mean things and our kids are watching. It is the same playbook. They're running the exact same playbook here. I'm not a sports guy, but I know that the analogy would be equivalent to if you keep running the same play over and over and over and over again, that you're going to run into a situation where somebody's going to say, this play is not working. But what if you have no other play to run? What if you have nothing else to run on? Then what do? You just got to double down. So they have one play. It's Trump's a dictator. It's not working for them, and they have nothing else to offer. So they're just going to keep doubling down on it. And then at the same time, they're going to try to buy off the crazy college kids. So you see, the other piece in this puzzle as you're watching the campus protests that are going on, remember that these crazy kids will not vote for Joe Biden, but he is sending them money. So he is doing the old school classic way of, if I need somebody's vote, I'll bribe them. And he's paying off their college debt. Well, by paying it off, I mean transferring it to you. But that's the old way to do it. If I can't win you over, I'll buy you off. I'll buy your vote. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Free college? No problem. In fact, if you look at what Biden's student loan repayment plan is all about, it's all about the fact that he can't lock down crazy college kids. So he's trying to pay them off. It's the oldest trick in the book. All right, listen, we're talking to Julie Kelly coming up about the case against Trump vis-a-vis the classified documents aspect of that and new information that's come out with redacted documents, unredacted documents, I should say. But we're going to be live on Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I'm so excited to be there with you in person live Friday at my happy place, the Grand Hotel. And if you want to de-stress, enjoy life, take in the ocean air, and make lifetime memories with your family and friends, then you should book a getaway at my happy place, the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book now. You get a June midweek stay and save. We'll be back there Friday, June 21st. So you could book your midweek stay that week and stay for the show on Friday. You stay 3 nights, you're going to get $60 a night in resort credit. Stay 5 nights, get $70 a night. Stay 7 nights and receive $80 a night in resort credit. And you can use your resort credits how you want. Food and beverage purchases at Hemingway's restaurant. You're going to have some of the absolute best food on the Jersey Shore. Fresh seafood, the freshest. Great steaks and beautiful breakfast as well. Lunch and dinner. Or you can use it at the outdoor pool bar, the beach concession stand, or in the gift shop where you can get passes for a whale watching boat cruise. Book direct with them for the best rates. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower. With 4 ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call to talk to my friend Caitlin, and she'll help you have your dream event. How about a beautiful oceanfront wedding? Oh, something you'll never forget. To book your stay today at the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, call 800-257-8550. 800-257-8550 or visit them online at GrandHotelCapeMay.com. It is my happy place, and I can't wait to see you there. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
70% view the U.S. economy as poor. I'll get into that with you a little bit later in the show. Welcome back. Glad you're here on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Julie Kelly is the author of January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. And she joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Hello, Julie.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Good. I appreciate you making the time today. I know you're in high demand. You have spent a lot of time looking at all the developments around the classified documents case concerning former President Donald Trump. And you've had some pretty eye-opening revelations that you've shared on the platform formerly known as Twitter.
Yes, there are a lot of revelations, and I'm just discovering more today that demonstrate close collaboration between the Biden White House, the National Archives, and of course on Biden's DOJ to concoct some sort of records and classified documents case against Donald Trump. And this dates back to the summer, really, of 2021. And we keep getting a lot more information from the unredacted, unsealed files by Judge Cannon in Southern Florida that, to your point, are quite eye-opening.
And let's understand now, why are these files being unredacted at this moment?
Because Judge Cannon is acting like a real judge. And she, first of all, there's quite a bit of bad blood between the Department of Justice and Judge Aileen Cannon. This dates back, Rich, to when Judge Cannon appointed in September of that year, a special master, a third party, to vet all of the evidence that was seized out of Mar-a-Lago during that FBI raid. And she basically said, I don't trust the DOJ to handle this properly. You're already leaking information about this investigation to the press. You've already mishandled privileged and personal material. So this dates back, over a year and a half. Now that decision was overturned on an appeal. But Judge Cannon has very little tolerance for the games being played by the DOJ from the beginning and their attempts to conceal evidence. I think she's very frustrated that there are limited things that she can get out because it's a classified documents case. There are stringent rules as to the disclosure of, say, the 32 documents that are used as that are charged in this case under the Espionage Act. But to the extent that she can get out the dirty tricks by the DOJ that are available in these motions to dismiss on selective prosecution, and these, there's hundreds of pages now of exhibits that has been unsealed, email correspondence that has been under wraps for quite a while. It demonstrates and proves that this was not, that actually what it proves, Rich, is what Jack Smith laid out in his criminal indictment does not tell the full story because he intentionally overlooked the close collaboration between the National Archives and DOJ and top attorneys, including White House Counsel Dana Remus and Deputy General Counsel Jonathan Sue, working directly with the archivist and the archivist's lawyer to figure out how to bring this case forward.
And this collusion here with the National Archives and Records Administration, and I saw you just tweeted out a couple moments ago, and I just retweeted it, Julie. And you can follow Julie on Twitter, at Julie_Kelly2. NARA was working with the White House as early as August of 2021. So their counsel, Gary Stern, who at the time was drafting a letter the archives could send to Merrick Garland, alleging Trump destroyed presidential records, met with the White House Deputy General Counsel Jonathan Suh on August 10th, as you just mentioned. The day before Jack Smith announced the indictment against Trump in the classified documents case, this general counsel was at the Biden White House and met with the Biden White House solicitor, special counsel. Now, the question that I have here is, were they creating a situation where they would be essentially now running the clock, so they would make it seem like Donald Trump had these documents longer than he would have had them? Were they purposely now dragging this on to give people the perception that Donald Trump was holding on to documents and refusing to give them back, when all along it was a matter of they were not actually getting their stuff together, and probably on purpose?
Well, I think it was just a matter of the White House advising NARA how they could proceed with various charges and using that office to pressure Donald Trump to turn over these records years before it's mandatory. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's funny, Rich, and this is why they started initially to concoct a records destruction case against him. And David Ferriero, who is the Obama-appointed National Archivist, who, by the way, Rich, called January 6th the worst day of his life. So he must have a very cushy life if that's the worst day of his life. Good for you, David Ferriero. Pressuring and threatening in June and July of 2021 that they were going to go to the Department of Justice and claim that boxes had been destroyed that were supposed to be turned over to NARA. And Trump's transition team and his PRA, Presidential Records Act, representatives were saying, well, what boxes are you talking about? And here's the kicker, Rich. When pressed to detail what they wanted back, NARA, they came up with three things. Get this. The letter that Barack Obama left Donald Trump when he left office in 2017, correspondence between Donald Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, and the map. Remember the Sharpie Gate map of Hurricane Dorian?
Yeah.
That's what they wanted back. Three items. But they made it sound like he was hoarding all of these documents that were government records. He stole them out of the White House. And here's David Ferriero and Gary Stern, the general counsel for NARA, Democratic operatives, once again, lifelong Beltway bureaucrats, using their authority, but being really used as cutouts by the DOJ and by the Biden White House to pressure this and then help come up with really NARA acting as cover for getting these documents back. And then when Trump turned over 15 boxes of records, finally trying to figure out what the heck they wanted, finally gave NARA 15 boxes. Then within hours, one of the top officials there breathlessly emailing NARA officials claiming that he saw files in there with classified markings. That, we were told, launched the DOJ's interest in investigation, but that simply is not true.
And what you just said, Julie Kelly, which is fascinating, is that he had more time to turn these documents over than people realize.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is unheard of. That, and especially most of the boxes, finally, that his staff went through, and even DOJ and FBI officials went through in June of 2022, most of those boxes were personal items. Donald Trump, I guess, you know, reading through some of the testimony of his closest aides, he kept newspapers, a lot of newspapers, a lot of clippings that mentioned him or that he wanted to hang on to. He would keep personal items in boxes. He keeps a ton of gifts, challenge coins and hats and sweatshirts. You know, he always is giving gifts to people or sending mementos to people. Right. So that's how he housed all of them, because, of course, he was going between the White House and Mar-a-Lago and his summer home in Bedminster. So that's how they transported a lot of things. And so that is, then they used the boxes, and the movement of the boxes, that's part of this obstruction case, you were moving boxes around and they had classified records in them. Well, they can't prove that any of the boxes that were moved had classified records. And I know that because DOJ just said that in court last month. And they were saying, believe it or not, Rich, they don't have to prove that any of these alleged boxes that were moved around that represent the basis of these obstruction charges, they don't have to prove that there were classified papers in there. I mean, this is how absurd this case is. And this is why I think Judge Cannon is at the boiling point. And she is using her judicial authority to get this information out to the American people. So we can all see how dirty this is behind the scenes. And, demand answers to the extent that we can.
Julie, I've heard the word entrapment thrown around mm-hmm. quite a bit in the last couple of days.
Yes. I mean, I think that this is a classic case of entrapment. That you have powerful agencies working behind the scenes, using these cutouts, whether it's David Ferriero, Gary Stern, of course, they're happy to do it, to set up a criminal case, walk Donald Trump into this fake espionage case and obstruction. I mean, sitting down with his closest aide, Walt Nauta, Rich, who has been with Trump for the last few years. He's a decorated Navy officer. He left the Navy after 20 years of service and went to go work for Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And they're harassing this man, seizing his cell phones, asking another Mar-a-Lago employee if Walt Nauta is dating anyone, what his mood was like, and then threatening Walt Nauta's attorney if he did not flip Walt Nauta to become a government witness, threatening Jay Brett, the DOJ attorney, prosecutor, to scuttle Stanley Woodward, the attorney's pending judicial nomination or application. So you have, again, they're threatening Donald Trump's closest aide. We want you to turn. If you don't, we're going to charge you, which he did. They walked him into a perjury trap at a voluntary interview with the FBI, talking about, trying to think that they were helping find these documents. They never really specified what they were. And then switching at the last minute from a classified documents case to an espionage case. So, of course, this is a classic case of entrapment. They didn't find Donald Trump and Walt Nauta committing crimes. They made up the crimes, and they created the environment to try to justify those charges. So, the government does this all the time. We saw most recently with the FedNapping plot against Gretchen Whitmer. But this is at the highest level. And Donald Trump really had, what options did he have except to try to cooperate, which he did? And even though, despite trying to get documents to NARA, inviting Jay Brett and three FBI agents to Mar-a-Lago in June of 2022 and letting them walk around, see where his boxes, personal items were stored, and even that wasn't enough, still now, and I also posted parts of the heavily unredacted search warrant, as you recall, that's been heavily redacted. Judge Cannon just authorized the unsealing most parts of that affidavit for the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. It's just this is starting to get as bad as the Russiagate hoax.
Amazing. Julie, thank you. Thank you for breaking this all down for us. There's a lot more here, and we'll be all over it. Follow Julie on X at Julie_Kelly2. It's important you do so. Keep up the great work, my friend. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks for having me on, Rich. Talk soon.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Getting as big as the Russia collusion hoax. Amazing. Absolutely amazing stuff. I told you on Friday I would have her on to talk about this because it's blowing my mind, these revelations. And good for this judge doing what she should do, which is to act in the interest of the defendant as well as the government and not just be a shill for the government. You know, the judge has to ensure that the civil liberties of the defendant are protected. It's part of the role of a judge, a good one anyway. Not a politically biased judge, like what we're watching happen in New York. So listen, let me tell you about my friend, my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike is the master of implant dentistry. He's the master of making you look and feel your greatest with a $1 million smile. I recommend you book an appointment with Dr. Mike today. I've been telling you about Dr. Mike for years. My whole family goes to Dr. Veneria because the level of care and commitment to dental excellence that Dr. Mike and his staff delivers to every patient is unmatched. He's been delivering results that surpass expectations, and that has made him a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. So, if you've been on the fence about getting that dental procedure done, reach out to Dr. Mike today. You have a choice, a clear choice for you and your family. Give Dr. Venneri a call. I promise you won't be disappointed. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020 or visit VenneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenneriaDental.com. My friend, my buddy, and the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Venneria, VenneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right. It's Monday. And the week is just getting started. The situation at Columbia continues right now. The deadline for the students to get out of their crazy encampments has come and gone, and nothing seems to be happening right now. This is the Democrat Party on crazy right now. So this is why they have to... What is that now, Matt? You're saying there's going to be an update?
Yeah, Columbia is supposed to have some sort of update at 5 o'clock, but I'm not sure if they're holding a press conference or if the president's just going to release another written statement. But either way, the students have certainly not complied with what the original request was to kind of get out of there by 2 p.m.
Yeah, people like she, he, they are still there. And Henry, I've thought about this quite a long time. It's he, she, they, all three. You can't use one of the three. He, she, they.
Where are you seeing this?
I looked up the woke handbook. It's online.
Is that like Urban Dictionary? Or
it's like the politically correct guide to wokeism. So you have to say, if they identify as he, she, they, they're not offering you a choice. Do you understand? They're not giving you the chicken, the steak, or the lobster. They're saying to you, I'm he, she, they. You're getting the chicken, the steak, and the lobster all on the same plate.
I don't buy that.
Well, I don't make these rules. But if you want to be part of this polite society, you're going to have to observe them. What can I tell you?
No, I'll just call you by whatever is there.
Yeah.
And I'll take the options.
Well, you're going to make he, she, they very upset.
Oh, well.
He, she, they is not going to be happy. He might not be happy, but she will not be happy. They will definitely be happy. Unhappy. He, she, they. You want to hear Hunter Got High by Afro Man? So they made a new version of this. They released it today, Hunter Got High, and the full video is on YouTube. Hey, Hunter, roll another one of those congressional blunts, brother. Now, the video is hysterical. If you got to watch it, too, because it's got Hunter Biden. He pulls up smoking in the back of a black SUV. He was going to get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. It's good. You remember this song? And Then I Got High? The original version? Were you guys around for the original version?
I've heard the original version.
I know the song, yeah.
And Then I Got High. And Then I Got High. That one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here it is. Hunter Got High. I woke up to this today. My friend sending this around to me, and I thought it was fantastic. What a great way to start a Monday, right?
I couldn't believe that it was actually Afro Man.
It's him. Yeah. It's him. The guy who did the song. He reprised it in Hunter's honor.
I thought it was a cheap parody at first. Then when I clicked the link that you sent me, listened to it, I was like, wow, that sounds exactly like the original. And sure enough, yeah, that's legitimately Afro Man.
Afro Man is re-releasing his song, dedicating it now to Hunter Biden. The classic 2000 hit, Because I Got High. Here it is for your listening pleasure.
Shout out to Bass Records. Hey, yo, Hunter. Roll up another one of them congressional blunts, brother. He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna show all them pics, but Hunter got high. He should have let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Yeah, Hunter got high. Hunter got high. gonna mess with the but Hunter got high. He was gonna take them all out on the boat, but Hunter got high. He's the smartest man Joe ever knew in his life. Yeah, till Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. La da 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 da. He was gonna go visit his dad, but Hunter got high. He thought he had a secret stash, but Hunter got high. The White House got shut down. We all know why. Yeah, Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high.
Bravo. Bravo by Afro Man. I like this version way better than the 2000 version.
There's some pretty good lyrics in there.
Yeah. I mean, man's a genius.
That was well written.
The only thing he left out was knocking up a stripper. But was that in there? I didn't catch that part.
No, I didn't hear that. Yeah. We could send him an email and suggest it for...
Yeah, he was going to wear protection, but then he got high. Like something like that. He's going to wear protection when he slept with a stripper, but then he got high. You know, he could keep adding to it. There's so much there.
There's no shortage of material, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, he was going to go to China for business, but then he got high, you know?
He does mention Ukraine later in the song.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Well, I didn't realize there's more.
Oh, I can play it, but there are some words that need to be bleeped. I'll have it for later in the show.
Yeah,
I'll
bleep it.
Half.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll play more in the happy hour, the Grand Hotel happy hour coming up, courtesy of our friends at the Grand Hotel, which will be live at Friday. This coming Friday, May 3rd. And we're excited and hope to see you there. It's going to be a great time. So we'll do that. I got a lot more to get to on the political front, including new polling data that's out. The emotional support alligator named Wally. He's back in the news today. And we'll tell you Wally's struggle and why it's real. And the White House, the failed coup against White House fembot, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. I'll tell you about that as well. We have a lot of things to chat about in the next hour. And Taylor Swift, big greenie that she is, flew 178,000 miles in a year. The question, though, of course, is how many tons of CO2 did Taylor emit, considering that those were all on private jets? The 5 o'clock happy hour straight ahead.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran.
And I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.